In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'd like to begin this morning with a poem, but don't worry, it's a short poem. It's a poem by Juan Ramon Jimenez. I have a feeling that my boat has struck down there in the depths against a great thing, and nothing happens. Nothing. Silence. Waves. Nothing happens. Or has everything happened? And are we standing now, quietly, in the new life? Today, on the Feast of All Saints, we are asked to go down there into the depths of our memories around the saints of the Church. And I think there are kind of two types of saints. There are those great saints that have their own days on the calendar here and there, those saints that collectively inform our tradition with their lives, people like Mary Magdalene, Francis of Assisi, or Thomas Cranmer. And as their lives undergo the tweaks and turns of retelling and history, they can seem so grand and so big and so amazing and so distant from our ordinary lives. Likewise, it's very easy to mishear the beautiful poetry we hear this morning from Revelation as something that belongs to a time or a place different than our own. But that's not the case. I think on All Saints' Day, our focus really should be on that other type of saint. Those saints that have touched our lives, that are part of the scripture of our personal story, that arise from the depths of our own memory, perhaps from way earlier in our lives, or maybe just from earlier this morning. Those folks who in some way have passed on something, have given us something, have opened us to something that has made God and God's dream for our lives and for our world a little bit nearer. Perhaps they've done this by a word, or an embrace, or a shoulder to stand on, or a shoulder to cry on, or a hand holding our hand when we trembled a little bit at some point along the road. These are the ordinary saints, if there can be such a thing. The saints who got angry, who struggled with addictions, who became afraid or made mistakes, and who sometimes cried themselves to sleep, but always remained connected to God. And yet these ordinary saints, in spite of, or more probably because of, their very real and fallible lives, fashioned space in our hearts where God entered in. They gave us that something to strike down in the depths. What is this extraordinary thing the saints in our lives have given us? Through their love and through their witness, as they help us strike against that great thing in the depths where nothing and everything happens, they help us know, not just think, but know that we are children of God, as we hear in 1 John today. And in our gospel reading, we hear about Jesus' picture of what that great thing is that we are called to strike against in our lives. Jesus, like a new Moses, ascends the mountain, and he gives a deep teaching to his intimate disciples about the contours of God's dream for us and for our world. He gives what we call the Beatitudes, which comes from a word for blessings or blessednesses or something like that. And these Beatitudes that we hear today paint a picture of the world that is so radically different from the picture our culture gives us. These Beatitudes challenge our views of power, success, the good life, righteousness, and even blessing itself. They are so radically different that some scholars call these Beatitudes an upside-down world. Of course, God's world only looks upside down if we are still consciously or unconsciously allied with the kingdom of culture, the kingdom of empire. Let's look at a couple of these just as an example. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This word for poor actually speaks about someone who has been so reduced, has become so destitute that there is nothing left to them but begging. So Jesus says to us, the blessed are not those who have attained some great spiritual height or have figured out how to look as if they do in the way they speak and move and have their being, but it's those who have realized that they come empty and seek and beg and desire that closeness with God. Those who have not arrived and probably never think they will. We never think we arrive, but who constantly seek and come empty. Blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. Mourning is one of the deepest and hardest of emotions and experiences, I believe, we go through. What is blessed about this? How are we to understand blessing in this way? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called, in the original Greek, sons of God. How strange this would be in the first century when a war maker, Augustus Caesar, was on every coin, and around his face on that coin was the phrase, in the same Greek, son of God. An upside-down world. But I think the strangest thing, really, about the Beatitudes is modern translators who look into the roots of all these words and have the amazing time to do this, say that this word we translate as blessed, which can seem kind of staid and interior, really best should be translated as congratulations. How odd does that make our scripture? Congratulations to you who mourn. Congratulations that you are suffering persecution. Congratulations that you hunger and thirst for righteousness. What is Jesus talking about? What is this thing in the depths that we strike against, that resounds through the anchor, through the rope, into the ship of our lives, and makes us the saints of today? Perhaps in God's dream, these hard blessings aren't meant to bring us to despair or isolation. Perhaps in God's dream, the very sufferings we hear about lead us to the place where suffering ends. These hard experiences of mourning, of suffering, of seeking, are the experiences of us ordinary saints. They bring us to that reef where our boats, foundering, strike against a great thing. If God's dream for us and for the world is sainthood, for us to be and to know that we are children of God, to put down all in us and to challenge all around us that is not made in the image and likeness of God, then anything that opens us to those depths, anything that brings us face to face with that holy silence in which everything and nothing happens, is worthy of congratulations. It is how we, too, become ordinary and extraordinary saints, by how we deal the depths of our lives. And our boats these days have some real waves to contend with. We have a contentious election coming in just a couple of days. We as a society have renewed struggles with racism. We're still suffering the effects and the who knows what the long-term effects will be of this pandemic. And then we have the things we've already grown used to, like the environmental crisis. And of course, here at home, our own search process for the next rector of St. John's Church. All of these experiences are threshold experiences. All of them are experiences of the depths that can bring us into contact with that great thing below the waves. I think that great thing is God's creative, transformative, upside down, but very real and very achievable kingdom of love. Because really, when it comes down to it, isn't that what we celebrate in the saints? Both the famous and the intimate saints, both the extraordinary and the ordinary, that through their lives they have helped us know in this life, that new life, that they now live with God, where everything has happened, even if for others it seems nothing has. So on this All Saints Day, I want to offer one final congratulations. Congratulations, St. John's Church. We, and many like us, and many different than us, are the saints of today. We are those whose boats foundering strike against that great thing. We are those who are called to be brokers of that new life, of the kingdom of the Beatitudes. What happens as we say yes to our own sainthood? Both nothing and everything. Maybe nothing changes in our life that would make for some extraordinary story. Perhaps it's simply that the eye of our heart opens and we begin to engage ourselves and others in different ways, small ways, nothing and everything. What happens as we embrace our own sainthood more and more and strike against that great thing and become people of the Beatitudes? I think we find that no matter what is happening in the seas of our life or the sea of society, that we already stand quietly, or maybe not so quietly, in the new life. And we will, each of us in our own way, be the saints that others remember and celebrate. We will, each of us in our own way, be channels of and pictures of God's creative, transformative, upside down, but very real and very achievable kingdom of love. Amen.